Good morning. Happy New Year. We're going to talk about that a little bit in a few minutes. I'm just still struck over that last line. For he alone is worthy. I want you to turn to your Bibles, if you have them, to Isaiah 7. We're going to do one or two more lessons before we leave this subject of Christmas. And we've been reading New Testament scriptures quite a bit in December, along with Isaiah prophecies. Here's another reminder that Isaiah saw it coming, whether he knew he saw it coming or not. Listen to the words of God. Isaiah 7, starting with verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. These are the words of God. May he add his blessing to this partial reading of his holy word. Let's pray together. Good morning, Father. It's a new year for us who mathematically figured out how to make a calendar out of the sun and us going around it. I have a feeling it's not a new year for you. It's not even a new day. For if we can believe what we have been told, there is nothing but light where we are headed. And only men mark days. But good morning from us, because that's what we understand. And we understand too that you are with us, that you are here, present right now. So we ask you to help us be present in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this morning's lesson is called Emmanuel. Well, Advent is over, but Christmas isn't. Even the liturgical calendar refers today to today as the second Sunday in Christmas. We spent the last month focusing on coming, the coming of the Messiah, the Savior. The Jews thought mistakenly that Jesus was only for them. We know better. They were God's instrument to help us identify God as who he is, to begin to understand him and his identity, that he is our Savior for all mankind. Is there more to say about this blessed event we just experienced? Well, of course there is. So this week and next, we'll talk a bit about identity and about history. Identity in the sense of who Jesus is. He's way more than a baby lying in a manger. That was just the beginning. And we'll talk about history in terms of how Jesus stayed alive and how we stay alive when evil comes knocking at the door. So first today, who is this Jesus? And what is he to us? Now, I'll preface that by saying you can get 100 or 200 sermons out of that question. And we're only going to do one, so I'll leave a few things out. But who is he? And who is he to us? It's a new year. It's only a few days old. Little has gone wrong so far this year. if only because the year is too fresh to have been damaged yet, although I'm not sure how much I believe my own words after what happened in the last couple days. Be that as it may, we can polish up our new calendars and note all the empty spaces yet to be filled. We have a calendar at home that hangs on the kitchen wall. You probably do too. I can't read it. I can now because it's January, but by another couple of weeks I won't be able to, and it'll be color-coded too with all the things that Cindy has planned for my life. And I'm grateful for that. I just can't read it. It's too full. But it is an empty slate, isn't it? For the moment, everything's fresh, at least for now. Last week we celebrated Jesus' birthday. And this week it's another birthday. It's the birthday of 2026. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's about 2026 years from the death of Christ. But then there was life before Christ. So it's just the way we mark the coming of Christ again. And it's been a while. Where will it go for you this year? What great things will happen to you? Where will 26 go for the church? Big C. And for this church. As Darren said, we may not be here in this sanctuary for a few more weeks. Does that change the composition of this church? Is that the beginning of an ending or the end of a beginning? Those things have yet to be decided. Where will it go for the United States this year, for the world? All the pages of that book are yet to be written. Sometimes the new year is depicted as a baby, and year end as an old fella, barely able to walk. The days and months have piled up events and tasks until the year's end comes wheezing to the finish line. But 2026, now that's a portrait yet to be painted. What knowledge do you bring with you for this new year? What did you learn from 2025 that you're going to bring forward to get better or get right or not get wrong? How will you do it differently than last year? What assets are you holding that will help you along the path? What baggage are you toting that you should leave behind? The great prophet Isaiah frames our subject today. He's talking to the people of Israel prior to their exile at the hands of the Babylonians, and he prophesies the coming of a great king, a Messiah, and among his titles will be Emmanuel. Emmanuel. In the Hebrew, it comes from two words. The first is Emmanu, meaning with us. The second, you know, is El, which means God. So the compound word becomes Emmanuel, Emmanuel, literally with us, God. The words of the prophet are quoted in Matthew's gospel. We read that during Advent, where Matthew tells his readers that the birth of Jesus is to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. And he explains the word to mean God with us. Well, that's all well and good, you say, but Christmas is over. What good is it for me now? It was nice, but it's over. I got to go back to work. I've got to go back to parenting children without the gifts of Christmas to cheer them or get them to listen to me. A soldier or a sailor home on leave has to go back to the theater of battle. A nurse has to go back to an arena of disease and sickness. I can't help but stop and give a personal anecdote here. 5 years and a month ago, I was in a hospital trying to deal with COVID pneumonia and pneumonia. And as I got a little better, I started paying attention to the nurses in the ICU. And they were like battle-weary warriors in a COVID ICU. They didn't get trained for COVID. They got called into it. And what they saw for several months, no matter if you were in North Carolina or New York, what they saw was death, and they saw it on a daily basis. And they had to go home to their children and come back the next day and see it again. A teacher has to go back to classrooms filled with challenges of too little time, insufficient resources, ungrateful parents, and sometimes lonely or frustrated children. Christmas is nice, but it's time to get back to the real world, and I need something new or something fresh, some strong idea to carry me through this wilderness of selfishness and greed and trouble. Well, God is not unaware of your problems. And in case you haven't noticed lately, He tags along very close to us, waiting for us to invoke the power of His name. You know, the Old Testament, if you study it, can't help but study about names. Names in New Testament, too, had great value. They were almost like foreshadowing of who somebody would be, where he'd come from, what he was going to do, or she. Thus the name Emmanuel, God with us. And he means it. He means to be with us if only we will get out of the way. Most of you are plenty familiar with being tested physically. If you farmed or come from that background, you endure long days and back-breaking work. If you've competed as an athlete, you've trained through pain and soreness. Linemen climb power poles. Surveyors cut underbrush with machetes. Homemakers go from early to late, making meals, ironing, cooking, caregiving, taxiing, and the like. Even us white-collar types go to the gym and do laps or strength training to keep in shape, and we test ourselves physically. Many jobs, perhaps most, come with a healthy dose of stress. Each of us suffers emotional wear and tear. We worry about our children, our grandchildren, whether we have enough money, whether we have job security, whether we have enough life and breath in us each day to show up and get the job done. Life can be a grind. And sometimes it can get very lonely. Have you noticed? Sometimes it gets lonely right here in church. Sometimes you can be surrounded by people and be at your most lonely. But consider this. The Bible is full of situations like that. These feelings we have are not novel. They're not peculiar to us. They just belong to us for the moment as we pass along the stage of life. For instance, imagine how the people of Exodus felt after being led for 40 years, a whole generation, by Moses, perhaps the greatest figure of the Old Testament. And they reached the so-called Promised Land, but it's not without cost. And when they get there, they find out there are inhabitants in the land. It will have to be taken. And at this great juncture with destiny in the life of the people of Israel, their leader, Moses, dies. How would you feel if you were there? If you've ever lost a leader or a loved one, you know the feeling of not only loss, but of the helplessness that accompanies that. And in a moment, when you think there's a time for joy, you're right at the edge, you're getting ready to cross the river into the promised land, and now it's become a time of crisis. And what does God do? He speaks to Joshua. Joshua, who at that point in time was 80 years old, that's older than me. And he says these words, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God was with the people of Israel then, and he's with us now as we experience loss and fear. We face all kind and manner of enemies in life, though many do not come announced as thieves or robbers. Often the threats we face come in more subtle forms, from cancer to heart disease to aging to loss of income, loss of relationships. Consider the trusting relationship spoken by the psalmist. He says, and you can quote this back to me, but hear it as though you've never heard it before. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You're with me, says the psalmist, talking about God. It's not just death to which the psalmist refers. He's talking about all those dark places in life. The places where we feel out of control, where we feel our most vulnerable and our most lonely. And he says, God is there with us. The question is not whether God's there, it's whether we're going to acknowledge God's presence in our lives. This theme of God's presence with us is echoed by the writer of Hebrews. He tells God's people to keep our lives free from the love of money and be content with what we have. And he reminds us of God's promise that he will never leave us and never forsake us. He follows with this reassurance, the Lord is my helper. Think of that. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. Well, how do we know he's there? How can we feel his presence in a world full of so many pushes and pulls and distractions? We will have to pull back from the constant callings of other things if we are to hear the voice of God. What was the scripture this morning? Psalm 46, be still, be still, and know that I am God. If we want to feel his presence, I think we will first have to feel. Do you feel? Really feel? Think about how little time you devote to intentionally feeling anything other than what's coming at you right now. Jesus said to his disciples in those last instructions he gave to them in John 15, if we abide, live in him, Jesus, we will bear much fruit. Our lives will be productive. Our lives will be full. If we don't, we will produce nothing. He said to them, if they did these things, their joy, our joy, would be full. It would be complete. What Jesus is telling us is that if we fill up our lives with something other than Him, we're going to end up doing nothing worthwhile. Does that sound American? Is that the American dream? I'm going to grow up to be a doctor, or a lawyer, or an Indian chief, or a general. And Jesus says, why don't you just grow up? Why don't you just be close to me? Why don't you stop a minute and feel? It's counterintuitive, isn't it? Now, who's right? I stand up here before you having done all those things that I'm talking about. And did they give me the joy that I experienced? And the answer is no. Being with Jesus does. Now, you can do those things. That's okay. If you do them for His glory and not your own. The book of Revelation talks about a new heaven and a new earth. It talks about the dwelling place of God being with man. Listen to that. It doesn't say that our dwelling place will be with Him. It says His dwelling place will be with us. Is that love or what? It talks about Him wiping away every tear from our eyes. Now, these are promises for the end times, but think about how much we can have here and now. Jesus has already sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to live in us, to walk with us. The Holy Spirit is another form of Emmanuel, God with us. We don't have to wait for the second coming of Jesus to experience God right here in real time. He planned it that way for us. Now, all these passages and more, many more, point to the same theme. It's all over the Bible. God is with us. The Bible is literally full of references to God being with us. I looked at a blog, pick one, there are plenty of them, Kingdom Way, counts 62 times in the scriptures where there is a reference to God with us. We need not feel alone. That's a choice. For if we believe in God, we can rest assured we are not alone. Long ago, the prophet Zephaniah, a man whose name means Yahweh hides, spoke about the restoration of Israel. We Gentiles, some 27 centuries later, sometimes question the relevance of prophets who spoke to the exile of the people of Israel so long ago, promising restoration to those who believe. Well, so what? That was then. What can such ancient literature possibly have to do with a post-religious Western world in which we live? What do we have in common with people in exile from their God? Did I really just say that? Really? Do we really need to ask? We who haven't seen most of our neighbors during the whole Christmas season, we who tolerate store clerks saying Happy Holidays rather than Merry Christmas, we who have commercialized Christmas Christ Day to the point where the lines are so blurred it's hard to figure out exactly why we celebrate it, we are living in self-imposed exile. And we walk around almost blinded by the demands of our culture. No, Zephaniah, Yahweh doesn't hide. It is we who hide from Him. And yet the message of Scripture, over and over and over, is Emmanuel, God with us. It was a descriptor for Isaiah to prophesy. It's what Jesus promised his disciples in the last hours of their time together. It's the last thing he said to them before the ascension. It should be our mantra. Everywhere in the Bible, God is calling to us, reminding us that we're not alone and we're not defenseless. Now, I've quoted from several books of the Bible this morning. I love the way Matthew bookends his gospel with the idea. In the first chapter, verse 23, he describes the genealogy of Jesus, beginning with the call of Abraham. And then he speaks of the birth of Jesus, reminding us then in that scripture that Isaiah's prophecy has been fulfilled by that birth. That a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, whose name shall be called Emmanuel. God makes good on the first leg of his promise to come to us. That's Advent. In the last chapter, the last verse, the last phrase, now it's Jesus talking. He's about to ascend to heaven. This is the Son of God, the Son of Man. Do you think maybe he picked his words fairly carefully? And what did he say in the very last words he uttered on earth? He's made good on that second leg of his promise, hasn't he? To redeem us. And the last phrase says it all. And behold, take a look. I'm with you. Always. Even until the end of the age. And then he ascended into heaven. In this new year, if you find yourself feeling alone, it's because you're choosing to ignore the presence of God, the presence of Jesus at his right hand, and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your own heart. Lay down that emotional baggage and that stubbornness and pick up the cross. He's already told us how lightweight it is. With us, God. All of Scripture reminds us, with us, God. Can you feel him? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we can read, and we are believers or we would not be here. Help us in our unbelief. Help us to come to you. Help us to realize you're right here, right now. You are not our future as much as you are our present. Open our eyes that we might see. And we'll give you all the glory. Be with us, Father. Amen.